if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7, and this morning we're going to continue with the Advent series, and like I said, Christmas brings peace. How many seek peace sometimes? How many realize that peace is kind of an elusive thing? If we go to find it, and we find it, there's this wonderful peace that comes, and if you don't find it, the lack of peace kind of takes us into anxiety, kinds of causes us to be disturbing and unsettling, and the search for peace can be as scary as not finding it. Amen. When you start and you look at these things, and if you think about Advent, and the whole definition of Advent is the arrival of a notable person, of a notable thing or a notable event, and really is preparing us for what? The coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ, and preparing ourselves. And our whole lives sometimes feels like we're preparing to prepare. There's always something to do. There's always something to cause us anxiety. There's always something in front of us that is alarming. And this week, my prayer is that God would get a hold of people's hearts and get a hold of my heart, and it not just be the Christmas story and nothing changes. It's like the same old, same old. And this week, as we watched the former president George W. Bush's funeral on national TV, I was energized. And forget the political views and forget all of the stuff that, you know, sometimes is trying to mix in there. To me, it was just refreshing to see a born-again Christian be acknowledged for the life that he led. Amen? That you can see this president and what he did and what he accomplished and how his faith was shown and how he lived it out and how they honored him and how they wanted to show this. And it appeared that both sides were wanting to at least acknowledge that there was good in it. And I was encouraged. And the whole thing with Advent is ordinary people being introduced to a supernatural God. Say amen to that. That the whole idea of Advent is to just get ordinary people into the presence of God, allowing God to do something supernatural, allowing God to transform us and do the things that are needed in our lives and prepare us for his return. And then, you know, I put out on the sign this week that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's the Christmas verse, but I didn't think the community would want on the bottom of it, and you have to make a choice. For unto you as a son is given, a child is born, but unto you is given a choice whether you're going to acknowledge Christ for who he is, acknowledge him for what he wants to do in your life. So Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6, and reading verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Would you just bow your heads with me for a minute? Father, this morning, may we experience the peace that you want for us to have in our lives. May we experience knowing Christ in a fresh and new way. May you accomplish that, Lord God. May we see the Wonderful Counselor. May we see the Mighty God. May we see in our lives your fullness and your presence. Lord God, may we not be too busy at this time buying presents and putting decorations up that we miss the whole reason that we celebrate. We need family. We need to express our love for each other. We need to have family gatherings. But Lord God, may they all be in the right priority as we first look to you and thank you for being willing to shed your blood, being willing to provide us redemption. And Lord God, may we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that there's over 300 prophets? You know, most of the time people wanted to just dwell on some of the New Testament Jesus coming and performing miracles and being exalted to the Father's right hand. But did you know that there's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about a coming Messiah, and that the deity of Christ is proven in some of the fulfilled prophecies that go on? There's the eyewitnesses, there's the accounts of so many recordings of different people recording the acts that God performed, and the mighty word of God coming and being in different writers in our text 700 years before Christ actually approached and came back to this earth to redeem mankind. And we look at these things and we see behind a text here a nation of people who are oppressed, a nation of people that need a Savior, the nation of people that are in darkness, hearing of a Savior to come, someone that would be the light and one that would shatter the yoke of bondage, one that would shatter the eternal sin that we were in, one that would set us free. Jesus' word in Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, meaning that he is the answer to that brokenness that we experience. He's the yoke that can be taken off of us, that restricts us, that keeps us from being captors, no longer in a manger, but a Savior, no longer determining what is needed, but has accomplished all that's needed. And in our sinful state, the risen Jesus comes to restore us to a relationship with God. And until we acknowledge our sin, until we acknowledge that we need a Savior, until we acknowledge that the Lord has to be Lord in our lives, and we separate these things out of our life, that we can understand that is why Jesus came. That's why he came to restore us. When you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." You can take classes. You can read all kinds of books. You can listen to all kinds of motivational speakers, but no one can give you peace except God. Amen? No one can give you the peace that you're searching for but God. You can find pleasure. You can find enjoyment, but if you're really looking for godly peace, you cannot find it outside of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot be born into it. You cannot get so book smart or you know, pass a class. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul tells us in the church of Philippi, he says, "Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, what is notable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me," now this is Paul speaking, he says, "put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You can't buy it, but you can share it. Amen? You can't buy it, but you can share it. You can share a smile. You know, a smile can change somebody's day. A kind word can change a person's day. You can experience God's peace by our actions to others. The longer that I'm a pastor, the longer that I see people hurting, the more I realize the importance of the peace of God in people's lives. When they sit across that desk, most of the time they are in turmoil looking for the peace of God. C.S. Lewis says this, "We lash out at God and everything around us. The peace of God can only come from God. There is no shortcut and there is no second option. You want the peace of God, you need to look to God." I watched as I I find people that are trying to find peace, and you ever had someone come up to you and say, I don't know how you made it through that. I don't know how you did that. And you get a perfect opportunity to show them that it wasn't in your strength, but it was in the strength of the Lord. That you were not able to do that in your own, but the peace of God working in your life was how you were able to do it. And that you get an opportunity to share with them, it's not because of any other reason except that you have fallen to the point where you trust God and rely on the peace of God and rely on God to do things that you cannot do yourself. In the scripture, when God says, my peace passes all understanding, you leave that in the hands of God. On the Today Show on Friday, I was watching it before I came over here, and they had an article, or they had an interview of a pastor. And this pastor had lost his wife and an unborn child. His wife was pregnant in a car accident that took their lives, killed because of a rookie first responder working 16 hours and falling asleep at the wheel and crossing over the yellow line. The pastor chose forgiveness to the man that did that. And I thought that was amazing. And I'd like to stand before you as a pastor and say, that would be so easy for me to do. But we need God's grace, amen? You would need God's peace. You would need God's forgiveness to first flood you before you would ever be able to do something like that. I'd like to say that I could do that without any problems. I would like to say that I wanted to build a relationship with the very person that would take a loved one away like that. But it would take God's help, wouldn't it? And this pastor was able to do that 2 years after this happened, that they built a friendship and they began to share one of the pastor's forgiveness and one for the first responder that said that he experienced God's peace that kept him up at night, that caused him doing a good thing that went terribly wrong, how God was able to intervene. And all I can tell you that at those critical moments, you need God. And the only way that you would ever be able to do that was your peace in God. The peace that God brings can only come from God. It's the peace that settles our nerves. It's the peace that fills our hearts and our minds and our spirit. And it's the peace that can cause us when we're out of control and our world is upside down and we don't know where to turn and we don't have answers. It's only at those points that we can look to God and find that assurance that no matter what, it's going to be okay because God's in it. Because God can handle these things and God will see you through. And the nation of Israel here was seeking after peace. The world of the nation of Israel was looking to a person that would come and would come against that Roman Empire, that would come against them in being in bondage and come against the cruel hands of those that had dismissed them. They never were looking for the Messiah. They had their preconceived idea that the Messiah was coming, but it was in the future, and they didn't understand that the Messiah was there and the Messiah was wanting to make these changes. And I want to tell you something. Nothing's changed all these years later. Not only are we looking for a Messiah, but as a believer, we should have the hope and the peace that comes with knowing that our Messiah is coming. The hope and peace is not like the world's. The world thinks we can still save ourselves. The world thinks that we still live in this time of turmoil and they're living in fear and they want to experience a Savior, but they don't want to call Him Lord. They want the benefits of knowing the Lord, but they don't want to serve the Lord. Something has to change in us, amen? Something has to change. We want the peace of mind that only comes with God, but we struggle because we don't want the Lord in our lives at times when we know we're doing something that we're not supposed to, when we're struggling. The world says a bottle of wine, a pill, a cheesecake, a box of chocolate, ice cream is the answer to peace. Now, at times, I would agree with you. Christians hopefully and prayerfully understand that it's found in the person of Jesus Christ rather than an object or a material thing. I thought it was funny. I think one wears off in the morning and one lasts forever. And on that first Christmas, those angels appeared to shepherds and declared that peace was available. Glory to God in highest, and on peace on this earth to men on whom his favor rests. As a believer, we grab onto this verse, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One of the many gifts that God gives us is peace. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And the Lord also promises to send his peace when we ask for it by saying this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can I say that again? We live in a society that is anxious. We live in a society that don't know what to do to find the peace that they're looking for. They don't know what to do with the empty puzzle that is missing a few pieces, and they're trying to put all the wrong pieces in. They're trying to fill a void that only God can do. Luke 2:10 tells us that the angel explained to the shepherds and said this: the good news is coming of great joy, and it's for all people. Peace on earth is reserved for God's people. Now hear me for a second, because I'm twisting and wanting you to see something here. Peace on earth is reserved for God's people alone. God's peace is reserved for those, and the scripture says, on whom his favor rests. Not everyone in this world has experienced God's peace, because not everyone in the world is asking for God's peace. This may sound exclusive and narrow, but it is, because here's what, before you go yelling and screaming unfair, notice who the angels are talking to. They're talking to the shepherds. They're talking to those that in Israel of that time were the downcast, were the low life of society. They were the ones that were looked down upon because they could not go into the temple, and they had unclean hands, and they were dirty shepherds out in the field, and they didn't keep themselves. And Christ chose to show them. The world thought that they were spiritually unclean, but God chose to bring this message of good news, his message of hope, his message of peace to those that the world had rejected. Is God's peace selective? Yes. But is God selective? No. He says for all people, but he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. All people are welcome. All will receive his peace when they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. It is the gift of peace that comes with a relationship with God. Peace with God is not peace with the world. Jesus taught and said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. True peace exists within the soul when we're in a right relationship with God. In fact, we make our peace with God, and we actually, in some respects, have conflict that comes in because the world is not willing to accept the peace that comes with God. In fact, they have a problem with you. Don't you know, the scriptures tell us, that the friendship with the world is hatred towards God. There's a barrier that goes between them. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then the scripture continues, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill toward men." Now, a lot of you know this cartoon strip, Charlie Brown. And you know, a few years ago, I thought it was funny. That shows a caption and it says that Charlie Brown speaking, he's talking to Lucy, and Lucy's looking at him, and she says this, "I suggest that we lay aside all our differences and be friends for the season of the year, Charlie Brown." Charlie Brown looks at her and says, "That's a great idea, Lucy, but why does it have to be just at this time of year? Why can't we be friends all year long?" Lucy looks at him and with a look that only Lucy could say, she says, "What are you, some kind of fanatic?" That's the way the world approaches it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually started to practice the things that we hear and sing about and the things that God wants us to experience? Wouldn't it be wonderful to take Christmas every day of the year and share a smile, share the love of Christ, giving an opportunity to intervene and intermingle with people's lives? C.S. Lewis said this of Jesus, and I love this. "You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall on your face and love him as Lord." The season of Advent invites us to examine our lives, to examine to where our commitments are, and takes us and really wants us to look at Christmas and not let us weigh it down and miss the true meaning of Christmas. And while we spend time with families and eat lots of food, and you know, I love checking out everybody's cookies and all the things that come. Yeah, I didn't get this suitcase by not eating that. But don't forget that we need God's peace too. We need to remember that this is a time that people are open for the gospel. This is a time that people are hurting because of things going on in their lives. And we have an opportunity to be a blessing. Amen? It's something that we should be sharing. You say amen to that this morning? Right after, say, "I'll do it." Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord God, as we look at last week, hope, and this week, peace, it's still pointing us to Jesus. Our hope is in Christ. Our lives can be changed by Christ to experience the peace that we're really after, the peace that would allow us to get a good night's sleep, the amount of peace that would cause us not to be worrying about 90% of things that don't ever happen, but causes us to live in that realm of anxiety. Lord God, may we experience that peace during this time. May we be sensitive to those that are around us and share and show the love of Christ. May this Christmas be different because we're filled to overflowing with your love. Filled to overflowing of wanting to make an impact. Filled to overflowing to show the love of Christ, even to people in the body of Christ here. May we truly be family. May we truly be witnesses. And may we truly experience all that you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen.